You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself, a little less time worrying about what your brother does. That's just an opinion.
What are you, a psychiatrist?
No.
Why don't you keep your opinions to yourself?
Somebody you should talk to.
If you say Ferris Bueller, you lose a testicle.
Well, you know him. Excuse you.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Fashion oftentimes pushes the envelope and makes people think in ways that are weird and wild and wonderful. So I kind of have a little bit of a soft spot for the fashion industry. Some might call me a fashionista myself. I don't know if you... I'm wearing Les Gap with Les Joes and Les Target. bit of a fashionista myself,
Not your
Chrissy.
Walmart sweatpants today.
Not the Walmart sweatpants today, but this is one of those risks you take in fashion that either work out or don't. When I put on those Walmart sweatpants, I feel like I win more often than I lose. I'm just saying. That's all I got to say.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chrissy Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Habeas pum-pum. The conclave has begun. Extra omnes, as they say, everybody out is the word that they use when it's time to start the conclave. Extra omnes. You have to leave. And the security at the conclave is very tight, from what I understand. They did a whole special on all the security measures that are taken to make sure that no one gets a sniff or a whiff of who might be the next cardinal, the next pope of the Catholic Church. Really? I mean, really? Isn't that? I mean, I know that Italian paparazzi, they're like a dog on a bone. They love the... all the palace drama around
the pomp and circumstance.
The pompous circumstance, yes. the pompum circumstance. They love it. They love that palace drama that's around the Vatican, and they get into it. You know, they follow cardinals around, see who's sleeping with who and who's got a boyfriend and who's got a girlfriend. It's a big deal in that Italian press universe to follow those guys around. Mm-hmm. And they have been known for their dirty tricks, the Italian media has. But, I mean, wouldn't it be okay if we knew, like, who might be the next pope? Is it really that big of a deal? Right?
No, I mean, to me it's not, but I guess to them it is.
Here's what's most surprising to me about the conclave, and I guess not surprising, but surprising when you actually read it, and then I did a little bit of investigation. There is a league of extraordinary gentlemen, let's call them that. Here in the United States of America, called like the Basilicus of St. Peter or the Apostolites of St. Peter or something along those lines. The secret ultra-wealthy club of people who donate millions and millions of dollars to the Catholic Church every year. And for that, they get access to the Pope directly. Access to the Pope. They get to meet him, essentially. Now, I don't know what kind of... Like, I don't know the intricacies around the access to the Pope, but I would imagine that if you're donating a couple million dollars a year, you get to bite the ear of the Pope at least once in a blue moon. Or you know somebody who can bite the ear of the Pope. Not literally everyone settled down. I know the Catholic Church is up to some hanky-panky, but I don't think it's good. I don't think they're biting the ear of the Pope. This group of people, they donate a lot of money, and so they have a lot of influence. And what I did not know until I started reading about it, partly in the Italian media, translated into English because I have no idea how to speak Italian, is that the 9 days in between the funeral and the conclave, there is a lot of lobbying that goes on to press people to vote a certain way for the new pope. Now, I guess this is, you know, again, not really that surprising. We're human, and this is what humans do. We try and... You know, put our spin on things. We want things our way. We're bratty little fuck-ups. We're bratty little fucktards. That's what we do. But this group of people here in the United States, this something of St. Peter, they have promised to raise over $1 billion if they can just get the Pope they want to get, which apparently is one of the Cardinal of Boston or whoever that guy is that everybody's so in love with. And that just surprises the shit out of me. That it's so transparently bought and paid for. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You would think that in the steps of Jesus Christ, the guy who literally walked around touching lepers' open sores and just, like, bemoaned any kind of notoriety, had no interest in wealth or fame, was, like, the most humble. He'd probably be surprised we're even still talking about him. Like, I think that would be, you know, something he would not be interested in. But this whole religion that goes, you know, along the word of Jesus Christ, and they're trying to sway influence with billions of, literally billions of dollars that they're putting in people's pockets, lining the pockets of the Vatican, so that they can have some sway and influence over who the next pope is. Now, listen, to a lot of Catholics, the next pope is an important decision to be made. Why? I guess because they can have some influence over the doctrine or the way that the church goes or things that they do or the rules of the church. If you're Brian Greene, the rules of the Catholic Church were made to be broken. I made out with somebody as an altar boy during one of the church services. I am certainly going to hell if this is the way it goes. I'm certainly going to hell. But, you know, hey, listen, in I guess 2025, everything's just Bitcoin. That's what we're doing. It's just
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. I'll pay a billion in Bitcoin. Pope coin. Anyway, habeas pumpum, Chrissy. Mary habeas pumpum.
Mary habeas pumpum.
May it be quick and painless. Mm-hmm. May the white smoke puff from the phallic chimney of the Vatican sooner rather than later.
Well, I was just watching about it, and it was saying that the last time they elected the Pope on the first vote was like 1531.
Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah, that's not happening.
I didn't realize it was that rare.
Yeah, because there's like 133. Oh, I got the stats here. Hold on one second. Let's look. 133 cardinal electors are present and able to vote. They're all in the Sistine Chapel. The Sistine Chapel and the Vatican in general has cell phone blockers, technologies that don't, you know, they really have just essentially... Either one big fucking rave is happening in that Sistine Chapel right now. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hope so.
Like one big hot party is going on
that
in there.
That would be fun.
It's like the once in a lifetime the cardinals get to go and just defrock themselves, like let their frocks down.
Or open the frock.
Open the frock. That's right. It's an open frock party. You know, frock optional, I guess. That's the best way to put it. It's a frock optional party. It's like the once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime, these old gentlemen will get to do this. Or it's really important stuff that's going on behind there. And I haven't seen the movie, still haven't seen the movie.
Why? I cannot believe that you have not watched.
Because there's
the
no
movie.
Time in my day, Chrissy. I love you. But the lives that we live are so radically and vastly opposite of each other.
I know.
They are. You're at Memfo for 5 days, three of which are just recovery.
Yes.
I'm lucky if I get an hour-long recovery in any day of my life. That's just the way that it is. By the time I end my day, I really am not interested in using my brain for any additional thinking. So that's why I put on stupid bullshit comedies to go to sleep
say,
to.
But yeah, you are caught up, I'm sure, on the Polly family.
I have not caught up on the Polly family yet. I will be watching that today as I'm working on the show and the 40 hours of TCB or whatever the fuck we've agreed to do here.
Yeah.
But the conclave, I hear, is a pretty accurate representation of what goes on. But how do they know? I guess cardinals have, you know, I guess some people have loose lips and they talk. Yeah,
yeah.
They weigh in. But
yeah, I mean, well, it seemed well, and again, that's really the only thing I know about it is from that movie. But it did seem like that there were different, you know, segments of the cardinals from different areas of the world that were, you know, weighing in and trying to get their person.
Yeah. And so the way that it goes is it's literally
John Lithgow.
Yeah, John Lithgow. I vote him for Pope. You see where Trump put that picture of himself on Twitter?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not like, whatever. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to move past it. It's a blind vote. So all of them literally scribble on a piece of paper, throw it into a box, then the Carmen Genglo or something, some guy that's in charge, he, you know, tallies up the votes and there you go and on to the next vote. And then they vote again and they vote again. I think they vote up to three times a day until they get consensus. And I imagine the first, you know, 10 of these are just a clusterfuck of people voting for themselves, voting for their friend, voting for the person, you know. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing I was just watching, too, was saying it, like the first vote's usually like a sign of like respect or something that you want somebody to have. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you vote for yourself. That's what I do. You know, my dad, I always, not always, but for like the fourth grade through eighth grade, I would run for like student council.
Mm-hmm.
President, vice president, secretary. Yeah. But there were like 12 kids in my class. So, you know, all of us were going to get a position or something along those lines. There was like four positions available. There were like 40 kids in our class total in our class. So we're split into two classrooms. And, you know, you'd make the signs and the pins and the posters.
Mm-hmm. And, vote for Brian.
Yeah, vote for Brian. And I don't know why I wanted this. I think I just felt I almost think I felt like it was obligatory. You know, everybody else was going to do it, so I did it. And up until sixth grade, I was an extraordinarily shy kid. Didn't have a lot of friends. Still don't have a lot of friends.
It's not true.
It is true. My friends are my kids. And you. And Rafa. But I feel like more like I'm just an Uber driver for Rafa. But anyway, I'll move past that also. So I put all of this together. You know, all the pins and the, you know, I think we made, my mom helped me make cookies. You pass out the cookies, vote for Brian. And the day comes, and it basically goes, the kid who gets the most votes is president, the kid who gets the second most votes, vice president, secretary, and then, you know, liaison, whatever.
Oh, that's how it worked.
That's how it worked.
You didn't run for a specific office.
No, because when you're in fourth grade, I mean, what wisdom are you going to impart on anybody? And how are you going to influence the school in any meaningful way? I think this is just an exercise in getting ready for the future, maybe in high school when you might actually be able to do something as the school, I don't know, student
treasurer.
Council. Yeah, that's treasurer. Treasurer. You know, you have a big sale. You collect $6. You make sure it stays there. Treasurer, by the way, would have been the worst position for Brian to have because Brian would have spent the $6 on cigarettes.
Yes.
I thought this was good for everybody. Let's all smoke a cigarette after class in the church, nonetheless. So the day comes. I don't know what grade this is in, fifth or sixth grade. The day comes. I didn't win my first couple of times. They don't tell you the votes, but I didn't win. But one of the years, maybe sixth grade, maybe seventh grade, there's a tie for like secretary, which is, you know, the lowest of it, the liaison, the secretary or whatever it is. There's a tie and it's Brian and this other kid. There's a tie. Okay, great. So we're going to hold a revote.
Making things interesting.
Making things interesting. We're going to hold a revote. It's going to be tomorrow. You have one day to convince people that you're the guy for the job. And I lost. And I think I lost badly, actually, because I really wasn't good at that politicking thing. But it's all about how to make friends and get influence on people. And the kid that I was up against, who shall remain nameless, the name I shall never speak again, because he beat me for student council secretary in sixth grade. He just was so much more popular than I was. And listen, there's only going to be one kid in class. And Astrid and I were talking about this. Popularity is a double-edged sword because, you know, you think about, you look at your kids and you go, oh, you know, are they popular? Or are they not popular? Does it even really matter? Because there's only like two or three kids in the entirety of the class who are actually going to be popular. And everyone else is just, you know, they're the most popular. And then everyone else is going to be wanting to be the most popular. It's got to be the exact same thing with this conclave. You take a vote.
Yeah.
I wanted to say this. My dad said to me on that day that I was going in for that recount vote, he said, vote for yourself. And I said, I'm not going to vote for myself, Dad. That he said, you always vote for yourself. Don't vote for anyone else. Vote for yourself.
You could be the deciding vote,
right? And I was like, yes. And here's why it made sense. Like a couple of days after this whole thing had gone down and I had gotten over the disappointment of losing 4 years in a row for anything for a student council, is that there was a tie for that secretary position and I did not vote for myself.
Oh,
so had I voted for myself, I would have never had to go through the embarrassment of clearly being the least popular kid in this arrangement. These guys, they probably a lot of them vote for themselves, I would imagine. And then they vote for the buddy. And then slowly but surely, just like a jury would, or like a hung jury, people start to convince people, backdoor conversations, who brought the better ecstasy to the party. You know, that guy likes Moby. That guy likes Steve Aoki. You know, Aoki. It starts to like whittle down into this situation where there's some clear front runners. And then eventually you get a majority vote.
Yeah. that looks like the way that they portrayed it on the movie.
Yeah. And the last time that we did this, now we've been privy to this twice in our lives. The last time that they did this, if I'm not mistaken, it took like a month or a month and a half for them to vote. Not Benedict, but the last one. Who was the one before?
Francis.
No. This was Francis. That was Benedict. Yeah. It took them like a month and a half to vote Benedict, who was after Pope John Paul. So we'll see how it all plays out. It's very interesting to me. I'm not interested in the actual dogma of the religion, but all of this pomp and circumstance and secrecy and, you know, palace intrigue, it kind of does tickle my taint a little bit. I've got to be honest. I'm a little, no pun intended, Catholic Church. It does tickle my taint a little bit. I am a little interested in how this all goes down.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And they're already talking about some front runners. I don't know any of them, nor do I care. I don't have a dog in the fight. It's not like, I really hope this guy wins for Pope. You know what I'm saying? But it's interesting how they're talking about them. The Italian press taking pictures of this guy talking to that guy and that guy talking to this guy and this guy meeting with a billionaire and that guy meeting with, you know, this cardinal. It's very interesting, Chrissy. There's a lot of intrigue going around about habeas pumpum. And so I will habeas pumpum.
Why don't you keep – you'll be our correspondent.
Oh, I will be your correspondent. Mm-hmm. I'm the perfect guy to be a correspondent for the Catholic Church. A reformed Catholic. A reformed Irish Catholic from Chicago. Oh, speaking of Stevie Aoki, didn't you see Stevie Aoki?
I did, yes.
The Riverbeat Music Festival?
I did, yeah. I saw lots and lots of good music. He threw cake out at people, which I guess is his thing. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I saw a video. I don't know I don't think it was from Riverbeat because it was like a lot of people, like 100,000 people. So I don't think it was Riverbeat where he threw a cake and the guy was telling him to, you know, wait for the beat, wait for the beat, wait for the beat. And he just threw it. And the look on the DJ's face was like, what the fuck, man?
People loved it. There was a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Did they do a little Aoki karaoke? What happened there? Did you actually see him play?
I did.
Spin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the arrangement there? I'm really interested in like the minutiae of this a little bit. Does Stevie Aoki, does he get up there and are you in the crowd or are you on the stage or in the back of the stage? What is your viewpoint for this particular artist?
Credentials to be wherever I wanted, but I watched it from Jeff's trailer.
You watch it from Jeff's trailer? What, like on a video screen?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, Chrissy.
Well, I did that. A lot of other things I went out into the actual crowd for. But when Stevie Aoki was playing, I was just getting there and kind of like getting my bearings straight. And
you were just getting there when Stevie Aoki was playing?
He went on early.
He did?
Yeah. It was.
Oh,
like
I would think he would be like closing
like
out the night.
5.
I would think 4:35 in the morning would be a good
time
for him.
I know normally that's what I guess he does, of course, at like the Vegas clubs.
Yeah, Vegas clubs and Ibiza.
That kind of thing. Yeah, Ibiza.
Ibiza.
But he was lined up in the other slot.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, a lot of people came out for it, though.
Was it a big crowd?
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I looked at the setup I was looking at, and I noticed that it was very spread out, a big area.
Right, well,
because
it's
area
along the river, hence the name Riverbeat.
How many people do they think showed up to Riverbeat?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm just getting back today, and I'll have to ask him. But there were a lot of people. I mean, it was sold out.
To me, the Riverbeat looks bigger than Mempho.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I mean, just like crowd-wise, the ability to hold a crowd looks bigger than Mempho. And I know Mempho's like
a different venue.
Yeah, Mempho's like the main event, right? It's the one that everyone like kind of pays attention to. But it looks like Riverbeat might be.
Well, this is just Riverbeat's second year.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
They did a really great job. I mean, they've got like a Ferris wheel and games and food and obviously music and drinks. And it's spread out along the river. So it's not concentrated in the one place like Mempho.
What's that, the Mississippi? The mighty Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi. The old man. The old lazy river. So who else plays there? You've got the Killers.
Yeah, we had the Killers Saturday night. Well, Missy Elliott Friday night.
Oh, she's great.
Oh, my God. I think that might have been my favorite. Her production was just incredible.
And how long does she play for? 45 minutes, an hour, something like that?
No, like an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like a full set.
Mm-hmm,
Wow. I'm sure just a crazy crowd.
Crazy crowd. Everybody was going nuts. Same on Sunday with Anderson .Paak. There's Cage the Elephant. We were talking about Cage the Elephant.
I was saying
They play everything.
They play everything. Every festival has to have Cage the Elephant.
Benson Boone.
Oh, Benson Boone.
I have a picture with him. I need to send it to
you.
Is
he doing flips?
He did a flip.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
He did a flip, and he was the nicest guy. So nice. When I met him, he's only 22.
He's only 22.
I mean, I guess we'll see what happens in a few years, but he was just coming off of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and yeah. he rolled right into
Riverbeat.
He was played on Sunday night?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So he did Saturday Night Live on Saturday night,
yes.
And then rolled into Riverbeat,
yes.
On Sunday night. That's the way you do it, man. You got to get it while the getting's hot.
Yeah.
Was the crowd big for Benson Boone?
People love him, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Listen, his... I guess he's got the dick to handle it, but his mm-hmm. outfits are rather revealing. He wears those tight pants that are very tight pants.
He's kind of Steve Mercury-ish.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury, I almost think like David Lee Roth-ish, kind of. Like, not like that outrageous, but just some of the outfits that he wears mm-hmm. are a little wild. My wife loves Benson Boone.
I know. Everybody loves Benson Boone. And again, he was the nicest guy.
That's great.
Very, very nice.
That's great.
Who else has? I met Flavor Flav.
I saw Flavor Flav.
Chuck D.
Did you tell
Chuck
Flavor?
Chuck D and I had a good heart-to-heart about politics.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's his thing.
Yeah.
That's what he talks about.
Public Enemy. They were great. Ludacris. Great.
Public Enemy. Oh, they played.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that Public Enemy was there. I thought they might have just been hanging out with Missy
played.
Or something.
They played
a set. Wow. Uh-huh. Really? Okay. Public Enemy, one of the OG. I mean, they are so good. Like, some of that old Public Enemy is so fucking
uh-huh.
good.
That's still sounded great.
How I went through my Africa Bubata stage, where a kid in my class told me, "You look like an idiot." You look like an idiot.
Krungbin was there.
Krungbin, that's
Krungbin
incredible.
So
was the crowd good for?
Oh, the crowd was great.
Yeah,
for
they
that
are
too.
Lovely. Okay, so slow down for a second. So, did you tell Flavor Flav? That we,
I told him.
Where we use him in our
him.
Opening
he
of our
was
show.
Like, that's amazing. That's
Did you
great.
Also tell him he should come on the show? I mean, that's. I need you to be that person.
The liaison.
If you're going to meet people, you should say you should come on the show. You know, and they'll say yes out of obligation because
right.
they don't want to embarrass themselves right in front of you. But then we have our people call their people and
exactly.
say he said so. He
exactly.
said he would come
he
on.
He said he would come on.
Yeah, it's an in. It's a little like wiggle mm-hmm. in. I guess I have to be that guy. And you, I'll come next time and I'll be
Please.
Like, we be on our show.
Please.
Be on our show? Because if Benson Boone showed up on the show, then I would get laid.
Oh, my God.
I would get laid.
Yeah.
Because my wife would be thinking
huge.
About Benson Boone while we were having sex. That's why. Okay, so the Killers played on Saturday night?
The Killers were huge.
Now,
where did you
watch the Killers from?
From the suite. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like side stage?
The VIP suites.
Is that like side stage?
No, they're like up. They're on this, there's
like
stairs.
Scaffolding?
Stairs that go up to them, and there's all these suites
okay.
up there.
Around the side of the stage?
Not the side of the stage, more looking at the stage.
Oh, like so in the front of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go up there, you hang out in the suites.
Yeah.
The Killers, I've seen a couple of their live shows on television.
That's really good.
The
energy.
I saw, and I told Jeff this, I saw Madison Square Garden, and the Killers played two nights, three nights. And on the third night, a second night, whatever it was, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, came out, played three Bruce Springsteen songs with the Killers.
Yeah.
And I'm not the world's biggest Killers fan. I like them.
Yeah.
I think they're really good. And I think they're one of those bands that's probably a little bit better live, just from what I've seen on television, watching them. I was thoroughly impressed.
Oh, yeah.
At the Killers and the boss together, it was incredible. It was really energetic, super great. He hit all the notes. I mean, the boss hit all the notes, and then Brandon hit all the flowers, I think is his name, hit all the notes. It was fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So a good long 3-day stretch there.
Yes. And I do need another 3 days to recover.
Yeah. No West for the weird. No West for the weary.
Hey.
No
well,
rest
I
for the weary.
I was coming off Pearl Jam with you.
Yes.
One night of rest. Then straight to Riverbeat. Of course, you know, the night before the shows, everybody's out, excited, having dinner.
Yes. So
there was that night. Then 3 days, full days.
Chrissy, do we need to have another conversation? This is your first responsibility. The commercial break. Generating over $20 of income per episode for your pocket. I don't know what's going on here, but if I need to have a conversation with Jeff and say, Jeff, Chrissy can only go to one of the 4 days of the festival, okay? She can go to that little dinner ahead of time, and then she can go Saturday night. Mm-hmm. She'll be limited to 10 p.m., and then she needs to be back at the hotel room creating content for the commercial break.
The hard thing is I want to see everything.
I know
and
you do.
I want to see everybody.
I know.
And it's fun.
Listen, I get it. I'm not immune to the FOMO. I'm not immune to it. I look at you doing all these things and I think it's great. And I would love to be there with you too. And you know that I would go if I could go. And maybe I will go. But I also, from the last time I spent three nights at a festival, which was Mempho, and I didn't even drink. It took me days to recover from that. There's just a certain amount of, like, I don't know. You got to limit yourself sometimes at, I think this goes for anybody. I wish I had this bit. I'm giving my young self, you know, people say that like time and space doesn't matter and it's all just a construct of the mind and that my younger self is living in some alternate timeline. Let me tell you, Brian, pace yourself, buddy.
Pace
yourself. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And you will, I promise you, at your advanced age, you will kiss yourself on the mouth for pacing yourself. Because part of me thinks that the reason why 3-day festival just sounds exhausting is because I have done it so many times in my young life that I like burned my body out. There's only so much running room you have in your spirit, and you just you gotta tamper it down sometimes, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am giving a speech to you, and I got three fucking children. Because here's the reality.
You're running a 3-day festival all the time.
I'm running. This is it.
You're at a constant 3-day festival.
The difference is, at a 3-day festival with Chrissy, she goes to bed at 6 a.m. I get up at 6 a.m.
Right. I thought about
you. Right? My party starts at 6 a.m. and then it ends at about 11:30, at which point Chrissy is just getting going. So, all right.
I'm just getting texting you.
Listen, I'm very proud of Jeff.
Yes.
Congratulations on
team.
Riverbeat. Mm-hmm. It looks like the offshoot festival Riverbeat has become quite the big deal. And not that Mempho isn't. Mempho, 2 days of widespread panic. Make sure you go check that out. But I'm just sharing with you that congratulations. It sounded like it was a good party. I saw all the pictures. And Jackie Beans. I even got
Jackie Beans
photo.
I know.
So thank you, Jackie Beans. I'm going to see if I can post that on Instagram because some people
were asking.
He was
asking where we were.
Yeah. Maybe next year. Maybe next year the kids are old enough. We can get a break. We can have somebody watch the children, and we can get away with it. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And then, Chrissy, then and only then, I want to talk about the one and only Met Gala. I was going to say something, but
okay,
I'm going to talk about the Met Gala. I want to review some video footage that I have of the Met Gala and all the to-dos and all the whatever. We'll get to it. All right, we'll be back.
You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We love to hear your voice because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, oh, that came out wrong. We put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
The one and only Met Gala, Chrissy, happened a couple of nights ago. When was that? Sunday night or something like that?
Yes.
Saturday, Sunday night?
Monday. It was Monday night.
Oh, it was Monday night. Okay. Mm-hmm. What a great night to hold the Met Gala. Now, for those of you that don't know,
Benson Boone had to get out of Mempho and go to the Met Gala.
Well, there you go. Right after he met Chrissy, he headed to the Met Gala. I love you. I can only imagine what condition people were in that trailer or up in that suite. I'm going to go next year. I'm making it a point to go. I really wanted to go this year. When the lineup was announced, I was like, wow, Riverbeat. Now, no knock on Mempho, but Riverbeat would have been more my speed, I think, as far as the music is concerned. I would have loved to have gone. So next year, I'm going to go.
Yes, next year.
Okay, so the Met Gala, for those of you that don't know, who have your head in a hole, the Met Gala is put on by the Metropolitan
Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm. The chairperson of the Met Gala is, of course, Anna Wintour, who mm-hmm. has been the longtime editor-in-chief of Vogue. There have been movies, magazines, and books written about her. She is hellfire on two feet, and she is also known for being really a tastemaker of all sorts. And I can get into it, but this isn't about Anna Wintour. But Anna Wintour asked one person to chair this year, and that person was Pharrell Williams. So mm-hmm. Pharrell Williams is going to chair the Met Gala. The theme is Black Dandy. Black Dandy is the style and fashion of African Americans throughout the years, and dandyism is a version of this style of dress. It's ostentatious, it's
very
big,
tailored.
It's bold, it's very tailored. Sometimes it's very tailored. Top hats, tails, the whole nine yards. There's all kind of fashion, but the Met Gala is known for, really has become known, used to be for like guys in well-fitted suits and girls in beautiful dresses, and it has become kind of a costume show,
yeah,
almost.
There's a different theme.
Yeah, there's a different theme every year, but the costumes get more outrageous, and it gets more crazy and more crazy. A lot of people abstained from this year's Met Gala, not because of the theme, but because they felt that there were more important things to focus on in the world. There were a couple of celebrities who came out and said, thanks for the invite, but I think there are more important things we need to focus on. Whatever you think about that, it's a time to celebrate fashion. This year, it's a time to celebrate dandyism. I like what Pharrell Williams said, from the slaves to the stairways of the Met Gala, you know, celebrating that fashion throughout the years. And mm-hmm. that, when he said that on one of these shows, one of these like red carpet shows, it really kind of touched me. Like, I was like, wow, that's a very powerful statement that he made, and I can appreciate that. I can also appreciate the kind of the ridiculousness of it all, right? It's like one of those, not dandyism, but the ridiculousness of the Met Gala in general, and I can understand why some people had abstained from going. All of that said, you may or may not know, Christy, you will know, that I have like a loose connection to the fashion world. I had a friend for a long time who worked in the modeling industry at a very high level. And she was like an executive at one of the high fashion modeling agencies.
I remember her.
And I really got an inside look into what goes on in the fashion industry. And just like any industry, some of it dark, some of it funny, some of it comical, a lot of it just kind of P.T. Barnum showing off, mm-hmm. right? It's like a P.T. Barnum quality to fashion, I think. And like comedy, fashion oftentimes pushes the envelope and makes people think in ways that are weird and wild and wonderful. So I kind of have a little bit of a soft spot for the fashion industry. Some might call me a fashionista myself. I don't know if I'm wearing Le Gap with Le Joes and Le Target. bit of a fashionista myself.
Not your
Chrissy.
Walmart sweatpants today.
Not the Walmart sweatpants today, mm-hmm. but this is one of those risks you take in fashion that either work out or don't. When I put on those Walmart sweatpants, I feel like I win more often than I lose. I'm just saying. That's all
right.
I got to say. As my balls are swinging in and out of the baggy, white, Lululemon-esque Walmart sweatpants that I have fallen in love with. I love
comparable to Lululemon.
So comparable to Lululemon. I went into Lululemon the other day to buy something. One of the shorts that sometimes I run or walk in was getting a little old. So I'm like, let me go in there and get. It's like you got to bring a banker with you to go to Lululemon. I like Lululemon. I do. I think they make really comfortable clothes. But it is ridiculous with the pricing in those stores. And not for lack of having customers, that's for fucking sure, because that place was packed. There was like mm-hmm. a discount rack. It was like wild animals at the discount rack. It was like 15 pieces of clothing, all of them, you know, triple double small or triple double X. It's like
sure.
no size that'll ever fit you. And people were like pushing each other and shoving each other to look at the stuff that was there. And I was like, it's fucking Lululemon, not La Boo Boo. La Boo Boo.
La Boo Boo.
So the Met Gala happens, and I'm just like loosely watching this as I'm here in the studio the other night. figuring the red carpet is like 3 hours long. The actual gala itself, I don't know what goes on inside the gala. They don't show that part of it, like what goes on once you go inside. But I have read from so many different places that the gala, you go there, you get all dressed up, you spend months and months talking to designers, going to fittings, figuring out what you're going to wear. You go down this red carpet, you're photographed a million kabillion times by every single outlet that's ever existed in media, and then some. And then you go into the gala, and it's over in like an hour. People want to leave. They're like, well, how do I get out of here? Like, yeah. They want to leave. In other words, the show is the red carpet.
Right.
Right. That's it. That's all. You just want to be photographed
there.
And
they raise all this money for the museum.
Metropolitan Museum of Art. So whether you care or whether you don't care, that's not the point. One of the things I thought was really funny is that for somehow I got, when I Googled Met Gala red carpet, what I got was a live stream going on from the E! Network. I figured, okay, E! Network, they're known for the red carpet shit. From the E! Network called a Creator Cam. Now, this Creator Cam has a young creator, and I will probably butcher her name, but I will try to say it nonetheless.
Like a content creator.
Like a content creator.
An influencer?
I think so, Chrissy. I'm going to Google it so okay. I make sure that I don't. First of all, it was raining there. So since it was raining there, there was a lot of delay in what was going on. It was like pouring down rain. So there was a lot of delay. And a lot of celebrities were having trouble getting in and making sure that they didn't get wet and then being photographed. They had to move the red carpet and all this other stuff. So this poor content creator, Chrissy, she had the worst live stream I have ever seen. From a television network, this was a zero. From a content creator, this was on par with anything we've ever done. This is like commercial break level bad. This poor woman had the worst luck, cameraman, audio, opportunity to talk to celebrities. Here's what I imagine happened. They call this let me see if I can, hold on 1 second. I want to see if I can say this girl's name correctly. That way we give her credit, because I don't think any of this was her fault. None of it. I don't think any of it was her fault. I think this just happened to be, she got this assignment, E! Creator Cam.
Hold so on. She was kind of like a second cam or a third cam or something, because the normal major stream was going on by professionals.
Here's what it seemed to be. Flauge Johnson, I think is her name. Flauge Johnson. Okay, now I'm probably messing that name up. It's FLAUJAE Johnson.
Flauge.
Flauge. That's a weird name, but, you know, kind of cool. Flauge Johnson. Oh, she's from America's Got Talent. She's she was a 14-year-old rapper 6 years ago. Okay, so she's young, right? So she's 20 years old. Okay, so I imagine this is what happens. E calls her and says, you're a great creator. We love you. We want you to be an additional stream on our channels to do some interviews as people are walking by and let the people out there in the universe know what's going on. Like the kind of like this organic.
Like a man on the street.
Yeah, man on the streets, in the style of vodcasting or live streaming on Instagram or whatever. E's trying to get hep with the kids and they're trying to make this look cool. And she just got shit on from the moment that this started to the moment that it ended.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. First of all, it took a full 17 minutes for the stream to even start. It was just like this picture that said Met Gala E! Creator Cam. What I noticed about a lot of other places is it seemed like they had two reporters on the carpet that just said on the little microphone thing said Met Gala. And then anybody who was able to pick up the stream. And they were the official, like, Met Gala red carpet people. So I don't think Flauge here was a part of that. And therefore, she got no attention whatsoever. Listen to a couple minutes of this. Let's listen to how it starts.
It's shot clock. I'm going to answer questions. And here we go. 1, 2, 3. If you had one snack in your clutch tonight, what would it be? Probably some cheeses, I ain't gonna lie, or some smart food popcorn. I'll eat that up, I'm not gonna lie. Let's see.
And she's talking to a celebrity. That's Flauge.
That's her, right?
Oh, okay.
And so this all starts with her, like, you know, having this conversation with a camera person that's out of the thing. So she's picking up the So this all starts really bad because she's just grabbing questions out of a handbag. She's very pretty. She's got a great dress on. So now they hand her the microphone and they say, okay, let's go do some celebrity interviews, right?
People coming. Coming to the carpet right now. Excuse me.
This is a major network putting this on. And what you see is her assistant is running around, scrambling to figure out what to do. Flau J is walking in circles. She has no idea, none clue about what is going on.
Hi, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. Mind if I get a quick interview? Okay, I want to say, what was the inspiration behind this outfit?
This was made by Charles Harbison and his...
Okay, so she gets an interview within the first couple minutes.
Okay, that's
great.
Good.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now, watch this. Okay, so Flau J now has to kill like 5 or 10 minutes because no one's coming to talk to her.
LSU is very, very hectic. Very, very hectic. They're
LSU.
Moving me around, guys. One second.
So now...
Wow, it's so beautiful out here.
The Met Gala is moving her. They don't want
her
to stand there.
Look, y'all, it's crazy out here. Oh, no, it's... Y'all, check this out. It's out here raining. The people are outside. The paparazzi, the camera's going crazy.
Here's what you can't see because you're listening to it. The camera has completely stopped working.
Yeah, it's frozen.
So the people at the Met, she's inside of the Met Gala, like, I don't know, entryway or whatever. She was standing doing an interview, and the Met Gala pushed her out. They said, no, you got to go somewhere else. You're with E! Network. You got to go somewhere else.
Honestly, this night is just one for the ages. I can't lie to you. Does it always rain? No.
Yes, it always rains, Flau J. Every time the Met Gala comes, it rains. It's standard protocol.
The first. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. I can't lie. I'm so excited to be here. I want to play a little bit of Would You Rather while we wait. Oh no, it's way too windy over here. Can we go on this side? It's very windy over here. Let's play the Would You Rather.
Yeah, it's like the raining and the wind.
It's the raining, the wind, the fact that they have no location for her to be there. Now, okay, a couple minutes later, I'm fast forwarding. The cameraman just wanders off and her microphone is wide open. Like the stream does not disconnect. Her microphone is wide open. And you hear her assistant and her start to like this argue. Her assistant's apologizing for all of this drama.
Yeah, yeah.
She has no place to stand. She has nowhere to go. She has nothing to kill time with. There are no celebrities to talk to or no celebrities stopping to talk to her. It's raining outside. It's windy and cold. She has no idea what to do. Chrissy, I felt so bad for Flau J. You want to know why? Because this is an episode of the commercial break happening right on E's fucking website, one of the largest entertainment outlets in the world. Look, the cameraman just wanders off.
Yeah, he's just trying to pan over and look. Yeah, it looks chaotic.
This looks like every party that I have ever been to. And that is this. I walk in expecting that I'm going to walk the red carpet. People are going to welcome me in. I'm going to have a few beers with George Clooney. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I have all these expectations. And I get to, like, every big event that I've ever been to. I get into the room, and then what happens? The guy can't even pronounce my name right. It's Brian Greens from a commercials break. By the way, bold choice by the guy in the video right now. You can see this on commercial break. Bold choice wearing
shorts.
Yeah, like Tommy Boy shorts.
Yeah. Okay, we got somebody's coming
in. Oh, it's Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, Whoopi.
By the way, this looks like a back room of the Met Gala. Why is Whoopi Goldberg just walking around the back room of the Met Gala? There are no other celebrities around. There are people in jeans hanging out. Okay, so... So Flau J talks to Whoopi for just a couple of seconds, and then Whoopi's assistant comes up and pushes her away.
She's like, she's
poor
done.
Girl. Oh my gosh, Chrissy, this is like so embarrassing.
Yeah, this is some kind of like back room type thing.
Next up, Pam, probably on the other side. Pam and Tori coming. Okay, should we walk back?
They're literally...
Or should we walk back?
Yeah. Here's a little advice to E! News. If you're going to put a creator, if you're going to stick some chum in the water with the sharks, give the poor girl a fucking chance. Put her on the red carpet. Make sure that there is someone there. It was already communicated with celebrities or PR people that they're going to be able to talk to her. Because Flau J looks like a flop in this video, but it's not her fault. It's all the other people around her. The cameraman that's wandering away, standing in front of a door that's wide open, windy and raining. You know, this girl came beautifully dressed, ready to rock. You gave her no content to work with. You give her no interviews to do. You give her a cameraman that's got ADD of the epic proportions and an assistant that just keeps on apologizing live on the microphone. And E, listen, I know you've been doing this for a long time and you're, you know, everyone's entitled to a fuck up here and there. But if you're going to do this and you want some professionals to fuck it up, talk to Brian and Chrissy. Chrissy will go to the Met Gala directly after she shows up from Riverbeach. She'll go right to the Met Gala. Let's talk more about the Met Gala when we get back. We'll take a break.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Okay, so then you go to, so we're talking about the Met Gala, then you go to this like live on the red carpet Met Gala thing that, like I said, it appears to me that the Met Gala is just putting one feed together that everybody can pull from.
You're watching the 2025.
Let's give me a shout out and some thank you.
Let's look at some of these fashions.
Yeah, it looks like this one's coming from the Today Show.
Well, that's what it says, but if you go to, like, all the other ones, they're the exact same thing. Wow. That's why I think just like a White House press briefing room, I think they all pull from the same feed, maybe.
It says they're at the, they're at different hotels, too. The Pierre.
Are they
one.
At different
now
hotels?
Carlisle.
Oh, so they're, maybe because of the rain, they were just, like, coming out of the hotels or something?
No, very mindful.
Love it.
Very demure. That is GGT.
Very mindful, very demure. It's giving me, giving me. What is it giving you, Chrissy?
It's giving me rain.
It's giving me cat that just ate a steak but has to take a big shit. What's it giving you, Chrissy?
Leather.
It's giving you leather? Is it giving you enlarged clitoris vibes? Because it's giving me pinky finger in the butt vibes. That's what it's giving me, Chrissy. Pinky finger in the butt. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying. It's giving me flowers on your birthday from the boyfriend who just dumped you. That's what it's giving me. What's it giving you?
I agree.
What's it giving you?
I agree.
It's giving me a headache. That's what it's giving me. I listened to like 2 hours of this. And these people, every time that someone came out, they would be like, it's giving me.
Oh,
it's
really?
Giving me. Yeah, it's giving me.
I just look at the pictures afterwards.
It's not the worst way to explain something, but it's giving me, I think, is a phrase that might be a little bit burnt out sometimes.
Yeah.
And some of this fashion is really beautiful, and some of it is just bad.
As
it's just
it
dumb.
Is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's just fashion in general, right? Would you go to the Met Gala?
I mean, I don't know.
If someone invited you to the Met Gala.
I think I would have to go. Now look, they're at the Mark Hotel.
Yeah, now they're at the Mark Hotel. I wonder why they go to all these different hotels. I thought it was like one big red carpet in front of the Met Gala.
It usually is, I think, when it's not raining. But I guess because it was raining, they went to
they did it under the
hotels.
They did it under the awnings at the hotels.
Yeah.
That is Cynthia Erivo right there in a rather stunning cape thing. Dress.
Yeah, did you see Diana Ross's cape?
I did see Diana Ross's cape. That was
like
insane.
18 feet long or something.
Yeah. I just don't. Something that irritates me a little bit sometimes about fashion, nothing against Cynthia or Diana Ross, is that when you have to travel with a crew of people to hold you up, do you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's like a train at a... Did you have a train on your dress? I can't remember.
No.
Yeah, I've been to some weddings
where
it's like five or six people that are holding a train, like dragging the train behind them. And I don't know, but there's something a little bit irritating about that. It kind of like breaks the mystery of the fashion, or like the breaks the allure of the dress or something like that. Like, look at this. Here's Cynthia Erivo, dressed beautifully, stunning in this whatever outfit she's wearing. And then you've got some dude in the background with glasses and a moppy head of hair.
Holding.
Like underneath her cape, like just holding it up in
the
air.
That's a long cape too.
That is a long cape. Remember when Katy Perry rolled out the lyrics to her album or whatever it was on the back of her, she had like a train that like rolled out the back of the lyrics to her album?
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Katy. I didn't see Katy Perry at the Met Gala this year. Maybe her invitation was rescinded.
Maybe, or maybe she's trying to lay low, or maybe she's touring. Isn't she touring?
Well, I think her next, she did two shows in Mexico City, and then I think that was like practice for the North American tour that comes up. And if the practice in Mexico City is any indication of what people can expect coming up, I think you should ask for your money back, because that was terrible.
I know, I saw some clips from it.
It's got to be a joke, right? I mean,
I don't know. It seemed unhinged.
Are we in on one of the biggest pop star jokes ever, or are we on the outside looking into one of the biggest crashes of a pop star ever?
I think that might be the case.
Because between the rocket, I didn't even want to call it a ride, between the roller coaster ride they took in Steve and Jeff Bezos' little projectile thing, between that and the images that came out of that Mexico City concert, where she was literally playing with lightsabers on stage.
Yeah.
She had a talking poop that was singing with her. Did you see that part?
I did not see that part.
She had a toilet that was maybe...
A toilet?
4X. Yes, a toilet that was 4X the size of a regular toilet. She was sitting on little steps at the top of the toilet bowl, the actual bowl where the shit goes in, and then up popped a puppet shit that was human-sized, and it was singing along with her to one of her songs.
Wow.
So Katy really pushing the envelope as far as pop stardom is concerned. And then you see someone like Lady Gaga, who is just as ostentatious and weird and wild as Katy has ever been, but in a different way, like a more like cutting, bruising, dark way. And she had over 2 million people, by some estimates, 2 million people showed up in Rio to watch her do a concert, which is insanity. 2 million human beings?
I know, and I saw that they like thwarted a bomb threat or something.
They arrested like 4 or 5 people who were going to do some damage at that concert, or who intended to do some damage at that concert. And thank God that didn't happen, because that sea of human beings. First of all, you and I went to Pearl Jam that had another concert next door, and it took us 1.5 hours to get 0.5 mile outside of the vicinity. Can you imagine going to a concert with 2 million fucking people?
No.
That's insane. A big saludes to Lady Gaga, who has certainly reached the very pinnacle of stardom. Because, first of all, they said it's the largest audience ever by a female artist. And I don't know who had a bigger crowd.
I think Madonna had a big turnout 1 year.
At the same location, like this, is that what Rio does? They lock off the beach and
It was in Taylor Swift, and she have to do something there too.
I think she might have,
and do something.
And so there's a video going around. Maybe I'll find it. Maybe I'll see if I can link to it. There's a video going around of Lady Gaga doing her sound check the night before. And there are hundreds of thousands of people. So imagine there's a huge stage on the beach, and then there's maybe like 3 football field large gated area right in front of the stage that I guess is the ticketed area. Like, you got tickets, you can go a little bit closer. It's 3 football fields. It's huge.
Yeah.
And it's blocked off. And then outside that, so there's nobody standing in the front of the stage for three football fields. And then outside the stage, there are hundreds of thousands of people in the buildings, on the streets, hanging off the lamppost. No, they're singing along with her during the sound check.
Okay, yeah.
So they're drowning her out because they are singing so loud that she can't even hear herself. I would imagine I wouldn't even be able to hear myself. What a feeling that must be. Chrissy and Brian one time almost sold four seats at the Dania Point Improv in Dania Point.
Yes. So we're close.
We're close
to knowing that feeling.
Yeah, we came close to knowing what
it
feels.
Should we just go ahead and skip Dania Beach and try to go straight to Rio?
I actually think we'd probably sell more tickets in Rio than we would at Dania Point, Dania Beach, whatever it's called. For some reason, I feel like the people of Rio
might embrace us.
Well, they would go, well, why not? I mean, you know, it's free. Let's go. But then, you know, Lady Gaga has however many, I would imagine 50,000, 60,000, 75,000 people pay. And then another 1.789 million Jeez. People show up on the beach. How do you even hear when you're that far back? I don't think it matters to the Brazilians. I think they're like,
yeah,
fuck this.
They just want to be a part of it.
Great party. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Or maybe they play it on the radio or something and you can listen through your headphones. Or maybe they do put speakers all the way back there. I don't know. But it was just amazing to me. It gave me chills
yeah.
to see the video of that. Because and then there's like a part that they showed where at the end of the concert, or toward the end of the concert, she's singing a song. All of her backup dancers are standing around her. She's sitting on the stage and she's ending the song and she's like sobbing. She's crying. And somebody put on Instagram, the moment when you realize there's no higher to go, right? It's like,
yeah,
that's
it.
Like it. What else do you do? What it must be like. What it must be like to be actually enjoyed by somebody. you know, we'll get there.
One day.
At a time. That's what I'm saying.
One day at a time.
That's what I'm saying. One day at a time. Anyway, Met Gala. I was going to show you more of the outfits, but TV's acting a little funky, so never mind. So you move on. You bail. That's what you do, Chrissy.
I did see a recap of a lot of photos the next day.
And God bless Flo Jay, whatever however you say that name, and I'm sorry if I am slaughtering it probably, but I'm sorry about that. But God bless her. I didn't feel like, holy shit, this girl's embarrassing herself. I felt like, holy shit, this girl got hung out to dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong.
You're E! Entertainment. You can figure this out. If you can figure out how to put, what's that weatherman's got? Al Roker. If you can figure out how to get Al Roker on the red carpet, you can figure out how to get Flau J an interview or two. All right? Don't leave her out to dry. Anyway, do us a favor. Please, please, please. If you're listening to us on Apple specifically or Spotify, go follow us and rate the show. I don't care what you rate it. Rate it a 1, rate it a 0, rate it a 5, rate it something. Just rate it. Do us a favor and do that. 12 hours of TCB coming to you May 31st. It's a Saturday. Chrissy and I are going to be here for 12 straight hours doing commercial break episodes. We'll have celebrity guests. We're going to be talking about mental health awareness. We're going to be celebrating 5 years of the commercial break, 6 seasons of the commercial break, and all for you, my friends, all for you. And just to see if we can do it, to be quite frank. I'm just, it's a feat of endurance that I'm hoping that we can accomplish.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes. To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month, we are going to drive ourselves crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you too, probably. So there you go. Tune in May 31st. Mark your calendars. That's a Saturday. Add the commercial break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all of the episodes on video. Same day they are here on the audio. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at that phone number. And TCBpodcast.com for your free TCB sticker.
Oh, the stickers.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to
you. And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.